center our thoughts around verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And that's all that we read just now. But I want to look at that in the context of the chapter. Now the Gospel of Matthew is divided into seven great parts. In the first part, we've got an introduction to Christ. And there are seven witnesses that are brought forward that leave us in no doubt as to who he was. He was none other than God manifest in flesh. Then at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we have the description of his atonement on the cross and his glorious resurrection. And then between the two, there are five great discourses in Matthew, beginning with the Sermon on the Mount and ending with the great prophetic discourse of chapters 24 and 25. Now, one of these discourses is in Matthew 18, and this has to do with our congregational life, that is, our assembly life, the relationship that we have one with another in assembly life. Now there are four pictures that circle around verse 20. The first picture is that of a child in the family. That is a unity of relationship. We have that in verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's the first picture, a child in the family, a unity of relationship. The second picture is in verse 12. That is a sheep in the flock, or a unity of a common attraction. Sheep are attracted to the shepherd. The third picture is that of a brother in the assembly in verse 15. And here we have got the unity of common values. The word brother, the word brethren. Then the next picture is that of a servant in the kingdom. And this brings before us the unity of a common attitude. And that attitude is one of brotherly forgiveness. Now let us keep these four pictures before us. A child in the family, a sheep in the flock, a brother in the assembly, and a servant in the kingdom. Now in these four pictures, we have got the spirit of the kingdom of heaven. And it is the spirit of the kingdom of heaven that is going to make the assembly what it ought to be, what it should be. In the first picture, the spirit of the kingdom of heaven is the spirit of humility, a little child. The second picture is the picture of godly care. A sheep goes astray. And so there is a concern that sheep should be brought back again. And then in the third picture, the spirit of the kingdom of heaven is the spirit of peace. Thou hast gained thy brother. And those words are emphasized because the loss of a brother or the loss of a sister is a great loss to every one of us. Then in the next picture, the spirit of the kingdom of heaven is the spirit of brotherly forgiveness. Now let us look at these four pictures in which verse 20 is set in the very center of those pictures. First of all then, a child in the family. The unity of a common relationship. Verse 3 says, and Jesus called a little child unto them and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now the way to greatness in the kingdom of heaven is by the valley of humiliation. The one that is willing to humble himself and to take the childlike attitude is the one that is great in the kingdom of heaven. Now that doesn't mean that we are to be childish. To be childish and childlike are two different things. We are not to be childish, but we are to be childlike. And so God sets the little child in the midst of the disciples. They have been quarreling at this time as to who would be the greatest. So the Lord says now, here is the path that leads to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. It is the path of humility. Now look at verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, whatever that means, I'm not quite sure. But I would submit for consideration that there is in heaven the guardian angel of the humble in the kingdom of heaven. And those angels are ready to lay a charge against anyone that would offend those little ones that believe in Jesus. So therefore, angels are brought into the picture. The guardian angels of God's people. And thus, the spirit of humility is simply following the example of angels. When we see angels, we see them cover their face. And they cover their feet. And in humility, they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And thus, all service in the kingdom of heaven is to be done in the spirit of humility. But now the second picture is that of the sheep in the flock. Verse 12, how think ye if a man of 100 sheep on one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he findeth, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. And note those words, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them is gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountain and seeketh that which is gone astray? The spirit of the kingdom of heaven is one of godly care. When one goes astray, that one is a loss to us all. We read in another parable, if he loses one, which means that it is a loss to God, and it is a loss to you and me. And hence, the spirit of the kingdom of heaven that permeates the assembly of God's people is a godly concern for one another's welfare, so that we will value each other and consider each other and consider the welfare of each other in the things of God. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are body of Christ. Now look at the next picture in verse 15. A child in the family, a sheep in the flock, a brother in the assembly. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now note how this is to be kept very, very secret. It's not to be spread abroad between he and you alone. If a brother has injured, then go to him and seek before it spreads to put it right with the one that has offended. Then it says, but if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. That is, for the purpose of gaining thy brother. Then we read, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now that's the local church. You couldn't tell that to the universal church. This is the local church that our Lord anticipates. Tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. No social fellowship and no spiritual fellowship. Now note what follows. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is, as you go through this procedure in the spirit of the kingdom of heaven, the spirit of humility, the spirit of godly care, the spirit of peace, gaining thy brother, then if that one who has offended, that has committed the offense, refuses to put it right, then his sin will be bound upon him, and it will not be loosed until he repents. And that means the offending one must be prepared to go through his Christian life out of fellowship with God. That would be a tragedy. That would be a loss. And that would lead to sadness of soul and a misery that would spoil our testimony for God. Now the next picture, a servant in the kingdom. Verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till 7 times 7? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times 7, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which took account of the servant. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be due. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him in the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now some of us may have lived long enough to have seen the unforgiving Christian in the hand of the tormentor before he ever died, perhaps losing the assurance of salvation, bereft of the comforts of Holy Scripture, and having no joy in anticipating the presence of the Lord and his home in heaven. Dying, of course, so far as judicial forgiveness is concerned, but so far as the governmental dealings of God with you and me, dying without the comfort and joy of Holy Scripture. Now that is the picture in which verse 20 is set. Now let us look at it for a moment. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. First of all, the place. Where is the place? It may be a glen, a cave, as it often has been. It may be a simple building like this. It may be on a lonely hilltop. But where two or three are gathered, subject to the authority of Christ, then there we see a church of the living God. But not only the place, where? The number, two or three. God is not confined to numbers. The little companies of the Lord's people are a delight to the heart of God. I labored for 20 years out in the northwest of Canada, Saskatchewan, and we had little companies that simply met in homes. But how precious to feel and to sense the very presence of God in the midst of the two and the three. For where two or three are gathered to gather in my name. Now note the power that is in the gathering. For where two or three are gathered. And here there is an outside influence as well as an inside influence. A power that brings God's people together in assembly capacity. What is that power? And the answer is the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moving upon you and upon me, bringing us to God's divine center. And that power influencing you and me brings us together around our common Lord. For where two or three are gathered, note the next word, together. That is, things coming together with things. Now there are two little expressions in the New Testament that we should distinguish. The first is, of the church. And the other is, in church. Coming together in church. Now what they mean is that we are of the church 24 hours a day. Wherever we are representing the assembly of God's people. We are either going to bring reproach upon the name of our Lord, or we are going to bring the secret admiration even of the unsaved. What is our testimony? 24 hours in the day. And that will either enhance the testimony of the assembly, or it will degrade it according to our behavior. That is off the church. But in church, is simply coming together in church capacity. Saints coming together with saints. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so, the Lord's Spirit gathers us, brings us one by one to one divine center. And that center is Christ. And then we read, gathered together in my name. We gather together in his name now. We shall gather together unto him of his coming. Now, what really did he mean when he said, in my name? Let us give a little illustration. Here is a man, and he owed his affection. He's going to go on vacation. So he brings a few trusted men, and he says, now, I'm going away. And during my absence, you're going to look after my interests. But everything that's done, every act of business that is performed, every check that is signed, will be done in my name. That is, it will be done under my authority. You will simply be carrying out my mind and will in every act and looking after my interests during my absence. So the Lord gathers his disciples together. And he says, I'm going away. I'm going back to the Father. But I'm going to have you look after my interests during my absence from earth. Everything you do, every business that is transacted for God is going to be done according to the authority of the absent Christ. That means as individuals, we cannot act as we please. As assembly, we can only act according to the authority of God that is enshrined in this book. We must be scriptural in our individual life, and we must be scriptural in our assembly life. And that means that thus saith the Lord must be paramount in all our discussions, in all our differences, so that the Word of God will be supreme as we seek to carry out the interests of Christ during his absence here. My name, by my authority. And we will look at that authority in the night, that we will be here, God willing. And we will look at divine principles that are to be carried out by you and by me during the absence of our Lord. And we will see that the assembly of God's people, when it is carried out in the spirit of the kingdom of heaven, is the most beautiful thing in all the world. I remember when God saved me. And at that time, I had never heard of assemblies before. But I thought in my own soul as I read the Bible that denominationalism was wrong. I was brought up, sprinkled in the Presbyterian Church, made a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven by a little drop of water. But I discovered that I needed to be born again. And to be born again, I had to make a personal reception of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for me. And when I received him as my Savior, the next thing was, where will I find a spiritual home? And I remember as we read the Word of God with a number of boys that were saved at the same time, we discovered that it was right to be baptized and to be baptized by immersion as believers. And so we went up to a Baptist church. There was a godly man in charge there. And we asked him if he would kindly baptize us as believers, but we didn't want to join his church. And he did. Then there was an old man in our district, and he used to gather us boys around him in his home, and he would teach us the Word of God. Then he brought us down to a little assembly. And as that we sat and we looked on, and one brother would rise and he would give out a hymn. Another brother would rise and he would lead the saints into the very presence of God. Another would open the Word of God and unfold the glories of the cross, the glories of Christ. And do you know, I felt I was in heaven. I had never seen anything like it in my life. And I said, this is the very thing that I had been looking for. And I couldn't have told you what I was looking for. And I identified myself as that little assembly. And I have never wanted to be anywhere ever since. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now what happened? That little company is great with the presence of Christ. There am I in the midst of them. What a precious truth is that. The Lord Jesus, in the very midst of his own, looking upon us as children in the family of God, as sheep in the flock of God, as brothers in the assembly of God, as servants in the kingdom of God. And then, the Spirit of God within us reaches us the Spirit of the kingdom of heaven. As we imbibe the Spirit of the kingdom of heaven, then our assembly will be, the activities of the assembly will be carried out in the Spirit of the kingdom of heaven, the Spirit of humility. That means that I will not be jealous of your gift. If you can rise and minister to the prophet of God's people, I am to rejoice. And I am to accept it as a message from God. If one member suffers, we are all going to feel it. If one member is honored, we are all going to rejoice. There will be absolutely no jealousy whatever where there is the Spirit of the kingdom of heaven, which is the Spirit of humility. And that Spirit of the kingdom of heaven is the Spirit of godly care. We are going to feel that we are our brother's keeper. We are going to feel that the welfare of God's people is our concern. So that if one goes astray, we will see that that's a loss to God and that is a loss to us. And there is the Spirit of peace. Gain thy brother and whatever the cost may be, I must be prepared to go the whole mile in order that I might gain my brother. And then the servant in the kingdom, the servant in the kingdom gives to us the unity of a common attitude, which is one of brotherly forgiveness. Now let us make a distinction between judicial forgiveness, which is the pardon of our sins that are put away once and forever, never again to be remembered against us anymore. The penalty was borne by Christ. But there is a brotherly forgiveness. And a brotherly forgiveness depends upon our Father's forgiveness. If I will not forgive my brother when he repents, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive me, so that my fellowship with God is so linked with my fellowship with God's people that you cannot separate the two. Now, that is the spirit of the kingdom of heaven that's going to make the assembly of God what it ought to be. Love is that which permeates the assembly and holds it together for God, making it the attraction that it should be, so that other believers that are outside and perhaps confused with all the sham of Christendom, looking for a spiritual home, will find it in that happy assembly that the spirit of the kingdom of heaven is in operation. Oh, that we may know more and more of the spirit of the kingdom of heaven that adorns, beautifies the doctrine of God our Savior. Now, I know the first night it's not possible for questions, but try and put them in the box, and tomorrow night and each night we will leave 15 or 20 minutes for answers. Only, I hope your questions won't be too hard. And we'll try and have a nice little discussion on the questions that will be given in. And I think, I'm sure, that God will be with us and give us a profitable time together. Now shall we bow in prayer. Our Father, we pray to bless thy word to each of us. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the assembly. We thank thee for the joy of knowing that we can meet in a simple way, and that our little gatherings can be graced with the precious presence of the Lord Jesus. Now grant thy blessing upon the assembly here. Bless every family. And thou knowest, Lord, the many that are unsaved in our family circle. And we pray that thou will give joy in uniting family circles in Christ. We commit us now into thy loving care in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.